Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark.
Chilling tales for dark nights.
Good evening, listener. You're listening to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. On tonight's edition, we invite you to leave behind your safe reality and descend with us into the frightening depths of the most terrifying imaginations with an audio adaptation of frightening fiction about living legends. I'm your host, Paul J. McSorley, and tonight and every other Wednesday night, I'll be your guide as we traverse the dimly lit corridors of your darkest dreams. Joining us tonight to help bring to life the frightening fiction of Eli Pope is myself, voice talent Paul J. McSorley. Now get your ticket ready, take your seat in our theater of the minds, and brace yourself. It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Our tale this evening is written by Eli Pope and is performed by me, Paul J. McSorley. In this tale, we meet Lizzie Legend and all the drama that comes with her. Now, without further ado, I present to you Shades of Depraved Hunger. Lizzie Legend. What a looker. Everyone in the club looked at Lizzie when she entered the door. Everyone. Even ladies couldn't help being mesmerized by her, as if she held something magical. She sauntered with the grace of a 50s or 60s glam girl. Her father likely batted his eyes to force them back to reading his newspaper when she walked by. Me? Well, I didn't even attempt to fight a glance. In fact, when she moved, my eyes stuck to her slim legs and round firm ass as if glue forced them to cling. She catches me staring. Every time. A smile would stretch across her lips as if it were just a blip of a hiccup under her breath. She would always keep sauntering by. Never enough of a sign letting me know she wanted me to make the trek over to follow her to the bar. But I wanted to. Like a lost puppy in love. I didn't have the cool other guys did. No self-confidence. She must not have been bothered by the mental advances I wore as obvious as a clown suit, though, because Bruce, the huge bartender who also doubled as a bouncer, never once gave me an evil eye or warning to stop eyeing her. I saw other dudes the bartender told to lay off, so I took it that there is a small possibility she enjoyed my watching. Lizzie is one of those girls who sported tattoos. A plethora. I'm never attracted to women wearing ink, at least not anything more than a tiny butterfly or flower. Lizzie wore inked characters of both men and women all over the visible parts of her body. I swear they danced together and maybe even traded places across her body in swirls and twirls as she moved with that damn silky and sultry grace she owned. I loved her. That's right, I said it out loud, even though the only thing I knew about her happened to be her name. And the fact, she's fucking beautiful. I hated every other man in the room who let their eyes ravage her as she walked. Even though that is nothing more than what I do, I feel rage deep in my veins as the blood begins to pump. Every fucking time I see a dude eyeballing her.
So, Bruce, who's the guy that comes in and sits over there close to the pool room?
What? Guys come in here and sit? Damn, I bet they even drink beer, don't they? He smiled.
Lizzie reached across the bar and punched Bruce in the arm. You asshole. I bet you know exactly who I'm talking about, don't you? Her lips made that circle of shock look before it morphed into a smile followed by a wink.
Do you mean Seth? The guy who's always alone and doesn't talk to anyone?
Yeah, brown, mid-length hair, dark black eyes, always wears jeans and a black t-shirt. Sounds like who you're talking about? Lizzie asked. I haven't seen him for a day or two.
Yep, that's Seth. He is a quiet dude who never causes trouble and drinks his Crown and Coke. His only problem is that he can nurse a drink all night long.
He laughed. What's the scoop on him? It seems he just showed up one day like he's suddenly a regular.
I know what you mean. I don't know anything other than Crown and Coke. Bill over there is Bud Light. Tim across the table is Maker's Mark. And Paul over there...
He watches me. I catch him staring all the time, Lizzie said.
Does it bother you? I mean, Lizzie, what guy here doesn't stare at you? He's harmless. But I'll chat with him if he scares you.
No, nothing like that. Hal, he's the only guy that doesn't bother me with his piercing eyes. She giggled. I just wonder, that's all. I'm thinking of going over and inviting myself to sit down with him sometime.
I'll keep an eye out on him for you. Just let me know if he says or does anything that makes you uncomfortable. I love dropping a dude to the floor every once in a while.
He chortled. Yeah, right, Bruce. It's like eating Cheerios to you. Gotcha. Thanks. You're like the big brother I never had.
The music is bumping tonight. It's all about that bass. The dance floor is full. The lights are firing rapidly on and off, creating a symphony of colors intermingling and chasing each other across the crowd's heads as they move in unison like waves rolling across the surface. That bass pulsed deep and banging, causing my chest to thump, enhancing the chaos of the lighting chasing across the room. The movement mesmerizes me with its shadows of distortion, attempting to become one collective living entity with bright colors in a fluid mixture of throbbing madness. It felt like I imagined life would be like living alongside the tattooed figures on Lizzie's body, moving gracefully between the color-filled characters surrounded by the fragrance of what I imagined her smooth skin smelled. I only wish she was here. Even though the house is packed and I would not likely be able to make myself say a word to her, the fact I did not see her filled me with aloneness. I'm not sure I can take all this stimulation without some release. That's when it happened.
I said he's over there in his usual spot,
Bruce yelled, trying to overpower the music and crowd.
He's alone, of course.
I leaned in and yelled.
Is he alone? I didn't hear you.
Bruce nodded.
I said he's alone, of course.
I smile. I have urges tonight that need attention. I'm up with trying to quell them.
I'm going in, Bruce. Wish me luck.
And I smile and follow it with a wicked wink. Bruce grinned.
You're gonna rock his timid world.
He laughed aloud and then leaned into my ear.
I'll try to keep an eye, but look around. It's a fucking madhouse.
He raises his arms and turns them as if he's a maestro ready to cue his band. He turned back and finished the maneuver with a shrug.
I can only do what I can do,
he hollered through the mass's roar.
It's okay, big brother, I'll be okay.
I smile and wink, to which he returns my gesture. I twist around and begin walking to find this average guy who captured my attention. The lights raced around the crowd's heads, turning their hair every color of the rainbow as they moved and swooned their bodies into each other in one giant ball of swaying mass. A few steps after dodging bodies from the dance floor, I make it to the opening of the pool room. There he sits, and he didn't notice me. I walk up to him and dip my finger into his drink. He turns with confusion. I lift my finger from the glass to my lips, insert that wet finger into my mouth, and slowly withdraw it. My name's Lizzie. Do you mind if I sit here with you? And I smile before continuing. That's tasty. Mind if I order us a couple? Before he can answer, I say, they're on me, if that's okay. He sat dumbfounded at first, appearing as if he needed to search for words to spit out without tripping over them. Wow, he's damn good looking too. Even more than I noticed from across the room all those other times. While he sat at a loss for words, but smiling, we trade deadly glances. I think to myself, it's too bad I'm gonna take him home and steal his life. But it's what I do. And I enjoy what I do. I grinned wickedly at the thought and licked my lips, still tasting the hint of Canadian whiskey, slightly masked with the sugary soda. I prefer a rustier tang in the finish. But that too shall come.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
My aloofness seems to have paid off. I'm successful at luring her in to come to me on her own accord. And my God, she is indeed a work of beauty far more worthy than any mere mortal deserves. I want to ravage every part of her. But I hold the patience of a warrior, waiting for the precise timing of battle. I sense the outcome in the end, and I ache for it. I burn for it from the tip of my teeth to the pit of my stomach and down to my loins. The thrill of the hunt and kill, so to speak. I looked up and spoke my first words ever to her. I'd love to experience the taste of this drink mixed with your essence as you have. I wink at her. Her lips broaden into an enticing grin as she touches my glass again and erotically dips her finger in. Our calculated dance began as the room continued to boom. My chest throbs as she retrieves her finger from my glass and delicately pushes it against my mouth, poking it in between my lips, penetrating them until her nail lightly brushes my tongue with the moisture that clings. I love the salaciousness, and I know, in this instance, our mutual lust will be explosive.
Do you dance?
She asks. I'm more of a private dancer, but if it adds to the seduction... I lean in closer. I'm in. Lizzie's brightly colored lips widen. The tip of her tongue makes a sensual trail that circles the red-painted skin after slipping out from being hidden inside her mouth. This woman knew the buttons to push. I've not met another human from this world able to manipulate me in such a way. Her voice, even with the volume of music overwhelming it, holds a lacy quality that draws me in. The chemistry is intense as the music disappears into the lull of background noise. I know it is still loudly pulsing, but my focus pushes everything into moving shadows as if only the two of us are smothered in intensity. Lizzie reaches over and pulls me into her personal space. It's warm, and her breath is moist.
I don't even know your name, officially.
She speaks into my ear, those simple words mixed with heated breath. Chills immediately rush through my veins, and my erection becomes untamable. She pulls herself down, leaning her ear tight to my mouth in search of an answer. Seth, I respond. She tilts her head back to where our eyes meet. She mouths the word,
Lizzie,
to me, and I smile, already knowing her name. My hunger grows exponentially as I watch the words leave her lips.
Dance with me before we go someplace quieter?
She suggests in question. As the bass continues to pound into my chest, Lizzie's body pushes against mine, and we rub our bodies together to a hymn of pounding extreme dance beats. The flashing colors of the chasing laser lights dance in and out of the movement of bodies surrounding us. I feel as if I'm losing some of my control over myself. I don't panic, but I want to maintain my abilities of control. The night being born of a beautiful serendipity I had not anticipated. I love everything happening as the experience continues. We're surrounded by what is likely hundreds of others, yet it feels as if only Lizzie and I are in the room. She moves in tighter against me, grinding our bodies as her eyes stare intently into mine. She puts her finger into her mouth and lightly sucks on it, and then smiles with a hint of depravity. My mind begins to flashback throughout this evening from the moment she shows up at my table until now. I watch her pull her finger from her mouth, and as I visualize the act, I remember she put that same finger in my drink twice. And now my body feels jittery and jaggy, a feeling almost impossible to explain even to me internally. It's almost an out-of-body feeling as my brain feels like it is expanding so greatly it will explode. Did she drug me with something? I watch her smile grow wider. Her eyes glisten brighter as if she knows what I am guessing. What I attempt to decipher, like a private investigator or cop performs to deduct guilt in a case. You fucking roofied me? And she smiles with my revelation. I don't know what her motive is, but I'm suddenly so fucked up I don't care. I want her naked in my arms, and I'll give anything to have that happen. I'm suddenly woven tighter into her than a pair of pantyhose on a fat clown, and all I can do is laugh. My lips sting from the widening smile stretching across my face, tight enough to crack. I feel like the hunter who suddenly becomes the hunted. And I will go peacefully to the slaughter with a painted-on smile, lulled and dulled by a finger-dipped sedative. I lean in, pushing my lips to Lizzie's ear. Take me to my execution, Lizzie. I'm ready. You've bested me. I feel a huge grin press through all the confusion and atmosphere of the club, and whatever drug she induced this act of surrender with, just lie to me if you must. Tell me I'll be granted some kind of final sexual award from you before. Lizzie's finger, the same one I knew now betrayed me, touched my lips again while she spoke.
Don't stress, Seth. You're going to enjoy most of what's to come. Trust me.
And she kisses me deep with the passion of a tigress. Her tongue travels around my lips before plunging deeply into my mouth. Pressing so deep, our teeth bang gently together while she inhales the air from deep in my lungs. She withdraws her tongue from my mouth and trails it down my chin to my neck, running tiny circles until the skin feels numb. She nibbles and sucks as I stand vulnerable and craving more. My eyes roll back, and the ambiance of everything, the music, the bass, her whispers, the nibbling that morphs into more of a bite, all swirls inside my brain together. Mixing colors and darkness, feelings of fear and pleasure, all intoxicating me until it becomes the same black. Blank and void of everything. I'm now vulnerable. I'm now her prey, and I don't care about anything except penetrating her wild animalistic ways of every kind. I was once a warrior. I came to conquer. I was the master, never the slave. I had brought pride to my family, my coven, my tribe. I was told I'd live forever and be desired when wanted and feared when needed. I would choose whom I feasted and bring into our fold. I would be a legend. But I was never worn. I suppose there was never any need for it. I was the apex, the predator, never the victim or spoil. I would bring my enemy to the bloodbath and I would rule. I am Seth, the appointed, a legend of my own. Certainly not Lizzie's legend, I question. My eyes suddenly snap wide open and a new boost of resolve is born. A triple dose of adrenaline. The answer to my cloudy predicament. I feel the thrusts pushing deep against my pelvis before rising and plunging again. Soft, skinned hands squeeze my chest, kneading my muscles in writhing passion. I crack my eyes, barely opening through slits, and see Lizzie's eyes are shut tightly together as she is mentally engrossed and rhythmically rising and descending in repetition over my groin, my manhood firm inside her. I knew she is likely stronger than I, as I am still in a weakened state from the drug she dosed me with. I watch her muscles tense and release, her skin tightens in beautiful definition. I fight the urge to push upward while reaching up and pulling her down on top of me, driving deeper into her, but knowing it would divulge my lucidity and reveal I am no longer vulnerable under her spell. I controlled my sexual craving and devised a makeshift plan of timing my reversal of control.
Oh, yes, yes, I wailed, my head thrown back in pleasure with little control of my body, my mouth wide open, spitting out emotions with abandon, showing my long and razor-sharp fangs, extended and ready to plunge into Seth's neck at the final moment of sexual ecstasy. It's down to mere seconds before he, a member of his coven, would surrender to mine. In a vampire's world, it is the ultimate honor to bring a warrior from an enemy tribe into your tribe's fold. I would truly become legendary. The flip side would be a total disgrace to Seth by becoming my slave and serving my every whim whenever I desire. Oh, Seth. I drove my gift down with force onto Seth's and began to grind before rising again, likely one last time before I would climax and plunge my fangs deep into his throat and drink his life force empty, his blood becoming my living meal.
As Lizzie rose and lifted her body weight away from mine before pushing herself back downward, I made my move. I tightened my buttocks and forced the strength to slide my legs to a bent position, my feet nearly under my ass in seconds, planted firmly as I pushed my pelvis up and forward with a loud groan forced, "Ugh!" I hollered loudly, as if it were my call to the troops to attack. My hips launched upwards in hidden unison with Lizzie's rising movement. I placed my hands on each side of her waist and lifted upward as I rocketed her body away from mine into the air behind me. She screamed out as her face smashed into the wall, and I immediately rolled over on top of her body, leaving mine coupled to hers. I turned, my hands driving her forward into a white-painted brick which exploded in bright red splatter. Lizzie regained her composure.
"You fuck!"
she yelled as she pushed herself away from the wall, twisting to engage me in combat. I answered with a loud hiss. finishing with a laugh. You thought you could take me easily? Lizzie's face was now blood-soaked, and the wall behind her became covered with her blood dripping down the rough bricks. Her naked body tightened, muscles pulsing under her skin, rippling with the intention of attack. It appeared she was mentally recuperating, and to my surprise, from my defensive attack she had never seen coming.
It didn't have to be this way, Seth. It could have been wonderful. But you've spoiled it, you barbaric prick. You've spoiled everything, Seth.
Her face wore a mixture of hurt and venom. I knew this skirmish wouldn't be over, and as I stared at her blood-soaked body, my erection returned full force. I was aroused, and I wanted to ravage her even more than before. I felt no humanity. Hell, I wasn't human, filled with human emotion. I was a vampire and wanted to conquer, in more ways than one. I believe she read that in my eyes, because when I realized it, her mood changed instantly. She looked like she had been introduced to fear for the first time. Lizzie's fingers rolled into clenched fists. The size of her abs increased as her muscles tightened, her biceps rippling. Her eyes darkened with intensity, and they withdrew deeper into their sockets. The razor points of her fangs protruded even longer from tightened lips, and I knew what she wanted, but I would not give it to her the way she would like. I would give her what an enemy vampire deserves: heartless defeat. I smiled and climbed to a fighting position. I enjoyed tonight, right up to a certain point, Lizzie. I have to say, I'm going to enjoy you now. We'll see who ends up their coven's bitch. Lovemaking now will be anything but romantic. I launched forward as Lizzie shot towards me. My shoulder knocked her off balance as my cheek caught her fist. I felt a wetness begin to slide down my face as I noticed a piece of my skin likely dangling from a ring on her middle finger. I grimaced, and when I turned, Lizzie came at me again, tucked down, headbutting me in the stomach and knocking me against a cabinet. The corner dug into my side, ripping a gash that left raw muscle exposed. I winced, and she continued to attack, dropping onto my lap as I fell to the ground. Her hands wrapped around my throat and ratcheted tighter, closing my airway. I gasped and threw my knee upward, connecting with her kidney so hard that something flew from her mouth into my face with a loud groan. Trying to throw her from me, I turned, bashing her head into the same corner of the cabinet I had caught with my face. The corner of her eyebrow took the blow, busting the skin and exploding like a small melon, leaving blood oozing down her face. "You're still beautiful, Lizzie!"
"You fucking prick!"
she screamed, but her words aroused me even more, and I knew deep down she felt the same. There was something bizarre between us. With each damaging blow we received from the other, the more I believe we both felt it. It's battle, but it's sensual. She took advantage of my fleeting thoughts and landed her heel on my thigh, causing me to double over in thunderous pain. Her mouth went for my neck, but I elbowed her on the side of her head, knocking her away before a fang could break my skin. Whoever sucked first blood would likely be the victor. I didn't know how all of this worked. I had never been in this spot, but I now held her from behind. Lizzie bent over on her elbows, trying to recover from the head blow. Our naked bodies, painted in smeared red, slathered from head to toe, turned me on in a twisted way. We became wounded animals, mauling each other to save ourselves from the other, to save our freedom. It wasn't a fight for death. Neither of us were capable of dying, not from the hand of the other. Only losing the loss of being the victor and entering into slavery to the other for infinity was what the battle meant to each of us. While I could live with her forever, it wasn't going to be as her slave. I knew she felt the same. It's pride more than anything. She closed-fisted me to the side of my face as she turned back. I didn't expect it as I was busy admiring how hot she was, her ass bent over. She's a coy fighter, I was finding out, taking advantage of my stupid traits of being a male. Male vampires are visual. What can I say? I see a nice ass, I have to look, even in a fight. And hers is worth the blow. I countered with a swift backhand to her cheek.
Ouch! You fucking bastard!
She hollered. She stood up and looked down at me from a more controlling stance and position. She reached for something on the cabinet top and drew it back in front of her. It appeared to be a long letter opener or blade. She waved it back and forth in front of her like a ninja warrior with a dagger, her eyes deep in anger.
I'm going to enjoy slicing you up like a...
I swept her legs out from underneath her with my right foot, dropping her back on her ass like a sack of rocks. She screamed as she brought the blade down, accidentally planting it into her leg. I plunged up and then dove on top of her, plowing her backward until I was sitting on top and between her open legs. Her body quivered in pain, but she fought back, crying out in agony. Our skin is wet and slippery without much friction from the blood lubricating us. I recognize the moment is now mine. She fought but sucked air desperately, being winded from the fall and lacking much ability in her defense at this point. Her leg muscles went limp, and I pushed myself forward, putting our faces only inches apart. Her lips quivered as they began to fall and cover her fangs. She sucked deep breaths into her lungs as her exhaustion gave way to passive submission. She was spent. I, too, was close to the same, but I didn't have a blade sticking out of my leg.
Okay, Seth. You win.
That easy? I don't believe you. I mean, you poisoned me, and now you just give up? Bullshit!
Oh, I'd like to rip your heart out. If only I held the power to do it. I'm dead in the water. You gotta remember, I was expending energy riding you while you were drugged and only capable of using one of your muscles.
She somehow managed to muster a smile at the thought. Lizzie, you know I only wanted you because of a craving I couldn't control. It's now more of a depraved craving. I grinned, but with a sense of sadness. I knew the woman I had watched, who held that special gift of individuality and confidence, would soon be non-existent. Oh, her body would be there, but her soul would be vanquished. It would not be hers any longer, but mine. And that's never the same. My father warned me, "My son, never mix what must be with one that you cannot control your emotions with. Drink from the souls of this human world, never ours of the vampire world." It seems it was likely good advice, if only Lizzie and I could only come to some form of truce. It's true, and I did want her for my eternity, but maybe not in the way things were turning. If I followed through with drinking her blood, I would be conquering her. But she would be more like a pet puppy at my feet instead of a lover by my side. That was not the idea I had in mind.
"Just do it, Seth,"
Lizzie whispered. I noticed a small tear, one of saddened defeat, begin to peek out.
"You're being a cruel bastard by delaying the inevitable."
And she turned her head to the side, openly revealing the soft skin of her neck. I could see the ripple of her elevated pulse tenderly throb just underneath her thin white flesh. And then I look into those eyes. Those were the eyes I could lose myself in. They looked like two vast oceans of calm blue that sat placid and crushed. I knew those eyes could become turbulent and deadly with the drop of a hat. A storm I sat in that club daydreaming of riding it out. But monsters don't fall in love, do they? And that's what I am. It's what she is. At least according to the society we live in the shadows of. Monsters are incapable of passion or dedication and are seen only as dealers of horror and death. I attempt to continue to study Lizzie's face, deaf to any of the words she spoke. I'm busy fighting an internal battle now.
What is he thinking? I asked myself. He has me defeated. Is he taunting me or considering giving mercy? His eyes look softer now, so brown, almost black. My eyes roam over his blood-slathered body, now beginning to dry out, the glossiness fading. He needs my blood. His naked skin tightens around each muscle, accentuating his power and strength. He appears deep in thought. Ugh, he's gorgeous. My father and mother would have been so proud of my bringing home such a slave of the Gunther clan. Surname that stands for warrior, and Seth obviously wears such a badge. I was so close to doing just that. What am I doing? Take him now, Lizzie. Every ounce of energy and brainwave is telling me to do just that. It's still possible to win. He's not in control of himself. He's faltering at the finish line. I can do it. My body begins to tingle with the sudden urge to win again. Now he shows no sign of the beast who had beaten me only moments ago. He appears gentle and... doesn't matter. Those feelings are no longer inside me. His spirit almost won me over for a second, as if humanity had somehow entered between us. What the fuck is going on? I've never dealt with these feelings.
Lizzie? I spoke her name in quiet question. I struggled with hope of some kind deep inside. It felt like I suddenly owned my soul, and it fought with all its might to swim up from the deepest depths of an abyss to save... this crazy feeling I held no clue what was. Lizzie, why? I struggled to think. My world now holds shades or variances of emotions non-existent before Lizzie. I've never been confused when faced with hunger before. No one ever warned me about the possibility of anything like this. My world is normally black and white. No blending of those two. No grays, light or dark. Lizzie. I paused, attempting to orchestrate my words to make her understand what I'm now fighting. Lizzie, I don't understand what's going on inside my head. I thought I knew. No. I knew what you were to be to me. I was instructed on what to do when running into another tribe. Conquer under no matter the circumstance. Win, be the victor. Return only with the spoils. But now? Now there is no black and white. You've brought shades of beautiful color to my depraved hunger. And now I resent what I'm supposed to do. The taste of victory feels as if it will be bitter and never satisfy if I...
Every ounce of muscle inside my naked body thrust forward. I saw the opportunity of Seth's weakness as my only chance to regain dignity and pride. I'm a winner, not someone's fucking show pony slave for eternity, living under the rule of another coven other than my own. I thrust my red polished nails into Seth's sinking eyes like hot daggers until I felt the back of his skull from the inside. He tumbled backward with force against the wall, and I could see the shock weep from his bloody eye sockets. His mouth hung wide open in disbelief. He no longer appeared to be a fierce combatant, but more of a human's furry pet, confused at being kicked in an outburst of anger. He never saw me coming. The poor warrior is lost in his mire of human love, mixed up and confused about his mission of survival as an undead. He sat upright and bright crimson blood dripping from his eyes and nose, a pitiful, surprised stare filled with disbelief and devastation. I couldn't help but laugh. Did you think that what we had was love? I don't know about you, Seth, but I'm not a helpless, pathetic human tangled up in insignificant shit like love. I'm a warrior princess of my father's coven, the Jaeger tribe. Hunters of blood. I'm a fucking vampire. And with that, I leaned down and sank my hollow fangs deep into his unwitting throat and drank
until there was nothing left to suck from him. I stood up and towered over his empty, wilted body, and in a moment of reeling with my victory, I kicked his crotch with the gusto of a horse as one last act of refuting his failure. Seth's torso slid down the wall to the side, smearing a bright red trail of liquid in an arc, appearing as a bloody rainbow reminder that I am Lizzie Legend. And I am indeed that. A legend. I smile as I clean myself up in the shower, washing Seth's blood from my skin while soaking in the memories of what tonight brought me. The heated water brings a soothing that regenerates me and my purpose. As I walk out the front door and take a few steps down to the ground, I hear the door bang closed. I see what follows behind me, groveling a few feet behind like a puppy. It is, of course, my new soulmate, my new slave, Seth.
I hope you enjoyed Shades of Depraved Hunger, written by Eli Pope and performed by Paul J. McSorley. Well, friends, our weekly descent into the depths has just about come to a close. But before we go, I'd like to take a moment to thank you for joining us tonight and remind you to take a moment to stop by our iTunes page and leave Chilling Tales for Dark Nights a 5-star review and a kind word. And follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram if you haven't already. And of course, subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can find an archive of our work going back to 2012. And consider signing up as a patron at our website, chillingtalesfordarknights.com, to show your support and get all of our content ad-free. I'm your host of the evening, Paul J. McSorley, and it's been a pleasure. Tune in again next week when we once again turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Sweet dreams, listener. Sweet dreams.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.